Hello and welcome back to our bonus episodes of the EMJ podcast. This is part of a series entitled The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. This podcast has been supported by Viatris. I am Dr. Hannah Moyer, Senior Medical Writer and Moderator for EMJ, and I'm welcoming back our two esteemed guests, Dr. Yemila Zabana, a gastroenterologist at the Hospital Universitaria Mutara Terrassa, which is affiliated with the University of Barcelona in Spain. And we are also joined by Shubha Bhatt, a clinical pharmacist in the Digestive Disease Institute at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, USA. Thank you both for coming and joining me today for our discussion. So in previous episodes, we've talked about difficult to treat IBD and the various aspects that we might need to consider. So I'd like to delve further into that and whether there's any controversies or guidance we need to provide when we're thinking about the management with anti-TNFs. Shubha, if I could come to you first. In the previous year, there was some recent data that was published around outcomes for international consensus meeting. And they talked about the definition of difficult to treat IBD. Does this pose any challenges in terms of the treatment options that we have?
So this is a great question, Hannah. So to summarize, the purpose of this international consensus meeting was to provide a common operative definition for difficult to treat IBD. And this was intended to allow for a more unified and streamlined research effort and data comparison. So the group ultimately came to a consensus that difficult to treat IBD is defined as the failure of biologics and advanced small molecules with at least two different mechanisms of action. And there's also a separate definition for postoperative recurrence of Crohn's disease after two surgical resections in adults or one resection in children. So in the context of treatment options, Hannah, so I think where it gets a little complicated that though IBD clinical trials have recently been an area of focus recently, because the issue with our studies right now is that we're still in the process of comparing drug A to placebo. And so this brings in the question about the ethics as it relates to improper treatment of patients with IBD when we know that they're having severe disease or moderate disease and they're being assigned to being treated in the placebo arm. They're basically not with any effective medication. On top of that, another further issue is that the manufacturers that are leading these clinical trials would actually exclude patients that have been treated with multiple medications due to the concern that their disease may be too difficult to treat. And that and then will negatively influence the medication outcome. So given that we have all these increases in medication options available, we're also now getting more interested in treatment positioning, and that's going to be best answered by head-to-head studies. So bottom line, I think, and again, though, as we mentioned in a prior podcast, the difficult-to-treat IBD patients are the ones that's probably also going to benefit from combination therapy because we're learning that multiple mechanisms of action may be needed for effective inflammation control. However, at least in the States, this is a treatment approach that's not readily covered, so that further hinders treatment access for our patients. So I think in the context of all of that above, so the issue with the clinical trials that we're doing, plus the limited assets as it comes to combination therapy, that's leading the difficult to treat patients as a population that has a significant unmet need. And so we need to make sure we're including them in the research, and we need to make sure that there's more effort to really identify how to better care for this population.
Yemila, do you have anything to add in terms of this discussion, and have there been any recent outcomes or recommendations that have come forward? I know that there was a Delphi consensus presented at ECHO last year. Are there any thoughts you could provide on this?
Yeah, I mean, this subpopulation of patients with IBD is quite difficult to treat, and there's not that much recommendations in the full guidelines. So this is like a gap of knowledge. So that's why this clinical controversies that you are alluded just was presented last year. And I have only read it in the abstract form. This is a study. The study was done by nine Spanish researchers that they structured a survey organized in two main sections. So the socio-demographic and the practice-related questions and the opinion and attitude of the daily practices related to First, the use of anti-TNF and other biologics in naive and refractory patients, the role of HLA-DQA-105, or the monitoring of drug levels, because as I mentioned in the current guidelines, they said that there's not enough evidence in order to provide a recommendation for the use or against the use of for example, monitoring drug levels of the patient. So what they provide is like they try to talk about what to do with a fragile patient with Crohn's disease and under biologic therapy if we have to consider another drug besides anti-TNF, for example, or if we have to use the HLA-DQA-105 allele in order to help the clinicians to the therapeutic decision making, or for example, if there's a place for us to thus intensificate our patients with anti-TNF, for example, if taking into account the monitoring of the drug levels. And many more, much more things of that are not well evaluated in the current guidelines, not even us in Spain or Europe or even in the American guidelines. So I haven't seen this written yet, but I think that as you can see, we're several groups trying to define how to act with the much more evidence that we can gather in order to like decide, document it. Because if not, it's like the gut feeling or your experience, but this is not evidence. So this is, I think, something that should be addressed in further time.
So there's still some unknowns out there when it comes to difficult to treat IBD and the clinical controversies that we're seeing as well. So I guess it's a case of just healthcare professionals sharing their learnings and sharing their insights and the real world evidence to keep our learning and our understanding growing. And podcasts like today, which help us to bridge that gap in our knowledge and our understanding. So thank you both for sharing those insights. That's all we have time for this episode. I just want to thank Yamila and Shubha for joining me today for this episode, which is part of the series, The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for other episodes that can be accessed through your preferred podcast platform or by visiting emjreviews.com. So I look forward to seeing you again soon. Until next time, take care and goodbye for now.